Let's go back to the beginning, because you are listening to Right Back At You, a Disney Channel original podcast. I mean, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously, hosted by David, Going Out Is Better Than Always Staying In, Lim, and me, Joel, If the Light Is Off, Then It Isn't On, Babington. Hello, David. How are you doing?
Hey, Jolie B. Wow. How long have you waited for this moment?
So, I mean, probably since I saw Casper Meets Wendy for the first time.
It's been a while. We've teased this for a long time.
Some devout listeners have wanted this for a long time. And I always, no offense, Dave, I don't know if you know this, but I always put the blame on you, which is true, to be honest. I go, I know, I can't wait to do it, but I'm waiting for David to get dead rock hair.
And who knew, the first original episode of 2023, I'm ready to get dead rock hair.
David, I've opened the good Kylie Rose for this very special occasion.
You know what, Joe? I mean, I know we've held out for a while to do Hillary, but this year we're going to go for it. And it feels right because we're covering Hilary Duff's first album, right? Her official debut album, Metamorphosis, today, which is actually turning 20 this year.
This is the year, and I couldn't let David get away with like trying to do a few albums in one episode. We've got to go like album by album with this queen of pop rock. So before we dive into it, Davo, please can you read us a lovely 5-star review?
Now, this one is left from the United States of America. Ooh, we've cracked America. Can
have
you
a nice day, as Americans say.
As per our Geraldine Estelle, yes. The heading is The Best. Dear David and Joel, I also wanted Vitamin C's graduation to be my graduation song. Was so mad when my class voted on and picked Hakuna Matata.
It wasn't a wonderful phrase to you, my darling, was it?
It wasn't. I'd just like to say that I've been an S Club fan since 2000, and you have brought so much new information, songs, and laughs my way. Thank you, and keep up the awesome pod. From Athey. I hope I'm saying the name right.
Oh, Athey. Thank you so much for leaving that lovely 5-star review. Hello, America. And speaking of S Club, David, I had a dream last night that I spent New Year's Eve with podcast guest Tina Ann Barrett.
Oh my gosh, our old friend Tina. How is she?
She's brilliant. And if you want to leave us a lovely 5-star review, you know what to do. Hit that subscribe button, and you can follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms to stay in the loop of all 2000s pop goodness. Right, Davo, shall we get into it?
Listen, JB, I know you don't need an introduction to this, and most of our listeners probably know who this queen is, but we got to do it right. We're giving Hilary Duff her flowers on our very first HD episode.
HD1,
literally. So Hilary Duff, beloved American national treasure for millennials, most famous for playing Lizzie McGuire in the hit Disney Channel series between 2001 and 2004, which, by the way, also spawned a film as well.
I've seen it.
You might have heard of it, yes. Now, Hilary was and is the original Disney-turned-pop crossover queen. Let's give her her flowers. She set the template, blazed the path for so many Disney girlies to do the same. And dare I say, without Hilary's foray into music and her success, there would be no Miley Cyrus, no Selena Gomez, no Jonas Brothers, no Demi, no Ariana. I mean, a lot
no
of these
Bridget
people.
Mendler.
Literally, a lot of these people are very talented and they would have found a way, I'm sure. But Hillary's success showed record labels that there is a demand for this and that formula. She was the blueprint.
She also reset the template of what was expected on the Disney Channel. So not even just on the music side, the shows themselves were changed forever for the better because of the success of Hillary Duff.
So even though acting is and will always be her main gig, she has a hugely successful and consistent run in music, which spawned 5 studio albums and 2 best of compilations. Hillary Duff has sold over 15 million records worldwide and achieved 5 US top 5 albums on the Billboard 200, 2 of which were number ones. She has 10 top 30 singles in Australia. Hello, Australia.
Queen of Australia.
Yeah, literally, we were living for it. Hillary's first real debut in music was in 2002 with a cover of I Can't Wait on the Lizzie McGuire soundtrack. That year, she released her first album, Santa Claus Lane. But today we're going back to the beginning with her proper debut album, Metamorphosis, which went on to sell 5 million copies worldwide. Now, it's 2003. 16-year-old Hillary Duff is having a really big year, JB. The Lizzie McGuire movie was coming out. Wasn't Agent Cody Banks the same year as well?
It absolutely was.
What a year to be booked and busy at age 16. Now, JB, what I learned in this is that Hillary and I are the same age, and she's actually 15 days younger than me.
That's up there with my holy trinity of birthdays. You know, it's my birthday, then Rachel Stevens' birthday, then Mandy Moore's birthday, April 8th, 9th and 10th.
That's why, yeah, for your birthday last year, you had the Rachel cake. I remember
absolutely
now.
Absolutely. Come and get it. Cake's ready, boys. Pre what we're going to get into today, she did have I Can't Wait, which was a cover of an Aussie singer, Brooke McClyman.
Yeah, she's like sort of a country pop singer, yeah.
Her version of I Can't Wait peaked at number 49 on the ARIAs. And then, as you said, we did have Santa Claus Lane. And then, listeners, obviously, loads of you are loving forever our eternal greatest hit of all time, What Dreams Are Made Of, from the Lizzie McGuire movie. But it is 2003's Why Not from the Lizzie McGuire movie. It's genius, really, because what we're about to talk about set Hilary Duff as TV star, movie star. And while you're loving both of those projects, we're setting her up to be Hilary Duff, the music solo superstar. And that is Why Not, lifted from the Lizzie McGuire soundtrack, also soft launching the Metamorphosis album era, released in April in America and June as a single in Australia 2003. It was interestingly then released in the UK kind of as a unofficial double A side, but more really a B side to come clean here in the UK.
We get the strategy behind it. You know, Lizzie McGuire is a huge brand. That is what people know Hillary for. So off the back of the movie, let the lead single be a solo song by her. And Why Not was huge. Like, honestly, in Australia, I remember seeing this on music video channels. You know, it wasn't really seen as Hillary trying to be a standalone musician yet.
No, but it was getting the things going, the juices flowing. So we have a fabulous music video to coincide with this song, David. It's directed by Elliot Lester. It was shot in downtown LA, first premiered on the Disney Channel in April 2003.
Of course, gotta have that exclusive.
It shows Hilary Duff singing on the rooftop. It's intercut with scenes of skipping, breakdancing, crowds running, and there's two versions of the video, one with everything I've just said and one with all of that plus scenes from the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Don't you just love Disney productions at this time? This was obviously pre-Glee, but that element of kind of musical theatre meets television meets Disney feel-good magic, like that kind of, I don't know if we still have that to this day. I mean, we'll have to ask our younger friends whether or their younger siblings and cousins, whether this is happening, because it just felt like a magical, magical time.
Yeah, I don't know if we have now, like, even this set up the template of big Disney film or project, and then the star automatically does a song for it. I wonder if Disney still even do, like, pop, big pop singles or covers to go out with it. Like, you know how, like, Demi Lovato did Let It Go to go with Frozen?
Mm.
And, like, Carrie Underwood had a big song that went out with Enchanted. I mean, that's way back in 2007, but I don't know if these are even, that's still happening.
Letting it be a new or an unknown artist leading the charge, I think that's rare. You know, you look at the Mulan Disney live action remake, they got Kagi back to do it.
Gotta get Kagi back.
Well, first of all, respect Kagi, get her back. But Christina Aguilera is a name, so it can't fail. Beauty and the Beast, the live action remake, they got Celine to do it. So it's kind of like, where are
H and Claire for the re-release.
The UK only edition. But where is the opportunity for a new rising star to take that lead and that soundtrack moment and let it be their pathway into a career?
Now, what I think is really interesting for this and blew my mind in 2003 is that there's two different versions of the song, Devo. So there's the Lizzie McGuire version and then the Hilary Duff album version. The lyrics in verse one are a little bit different to align with the Metamorphosis album and Hilary Duff in a slightly more mature way. So the Lizzie McGuire version opens with, "You think you're going nowhere when you're walking down the street. Acting like you just don't care when life could be so sweet. Why you want to be like that, as if there's nothing new? You're not fooling no one. You're not even fooling you." Whereas the album version of our more mature Hilary...
that comes out a few months later.
Yes. "You act like you don't know me when you see me on the street. You're making like I turn you off when
if
I know you think...
you see me walking down the street, staring at the sky..."
Thank you, Jenny. "You're making like I turn you off when I know you think I'm sweet. It don't have to be like that. I guess you're insecure.
Wow.
If you say what's on your mind, I might answer, sure."
It's a totally different vibe, isn't it?
It's like, yeah, it's definitely a lot more like...
It's a lot deeper.
It's a lot more.
Yeah, it speaks on real things, which we'll get to when we talk about Metamorphosis, because we're going to really dissect it there. But I just want to say, speaking of lyrics... "You always dress in yellow when you want to dress in gold. Instead of listening to your heart, you do just what you're told." This episode, out of probably anything we've ever done, is going to give you the most ammunition for inspirational quotes Instagram.
This is like up there with like my Young Divas anthems of 2023, you know. So this did chart, Devo. In Australia, it went in... peaked at 14 on the ARIAs, which is absolutely fantastic for a soundtrack single. New Zealand, 15.
I feel like Australasia, like Australia and New Zealand, were more receptive to Lizzie McGuire / Hilary Duff pop star mode.
Yeah, I mean, look, you guys get rock, but I was always dead jealous because it took Hilary Duff's third tour for her to come to the UK, but her second tour, she was already doing arenas in Australia, and I was... devastated. I was like, get me over that, get me down under now. We're gonna get to the real debut single now, David. So Yesterday, it debuted in June in America via an AOL first listen, then officially in July, September in Australia, and October 2003 here in the UK. At least not today, not today. It's interesting that it is staggered like America, Australia, UK. Like, it gives her time to go and promote in all these territories.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, you're technically breaking a new artist. So, you know, even though she was big in Disney World, like, to your kind of regular radio programming managers, they're not familiar with Hilary Duff. So they might want to see a bit of success elsewhere before adding it on. And also, yeah, it's down to like her schedule when she can actually promote. So that makes sense. But these days, obviously, we don't do that anymore. Everyone gets it at the same time and then it just marinades. And then if it takes off, it takes off.
Yeah, and you're right in terms of it was breaking a new artist, and also to even Hollywood Records, we should talk about that it was kind of not new territory for them, but a lot was riding on it. So Hillary opted to not sign with a different major label. She decided to sign with Hollywood Records, which is owned by Disney, because she knew there she would be treated as a high priority act instead of being, you know, a fish in a sea of roster of huge other huge acts, where she might not be treated seriously because she's a Disney star, or, you know, be given priority.
But also it makes sense to stay within that arm of
stay
Disney
within because the family,
she
yeah.
has so many other projects. Like, she's constantly in films and like stuff that's coming out, so there's got to be that synergy from within. So yeah, it makes sense for that. But also this is like uncharted territory, right? Because Hollywood Records hasn't really produced a music star like this before, like properly break an artist.
Absolutely not.
The mouse was on the phone. It was like, you better get your shit together.
Hey guys, it's Mickey here at Walt Disney Studios. I'm just wondering what the beep is going on over at Hollywood Records. Hillary Duff, we gotta get her overseas ASAP. So yesterday, it's firing up the charts here in America. It's triple platinum on Radio Disney. Australia, UK, Asia, they're begging for her. You gotta get her there ASAP. But it really was creating something new for Hollywood Records in that way. Her monumental success created everything that was to come, not just for individual stars in a channel, but for a label as well. So Yesterday premiered on AOL Music's First Listen on the 27th of June 2003, and it drew in over 50,000 streams in 2 days. Now that is ahead of her time, Queen.
That was ahead of a time when streaming wasn't even a thing, so yeah. So yesterday, really, like, listening to it just takes me back to summertime in Melbourne, you know, hearing this on the radio in the car, seeing the music video on Video Hits and Rage on Saturday mornings. Like, I remember this song being so popular, I had it burnt onto a mix CD with other pop hits. So I would like listen to it on my walk home from school in my little Discman. So it was just like, whenever I hear this song, it just really takes me back to those moments at school.
I remember, okay, I was waiting in anticipation for the UK release.
Were you one of the people that jumped on the AOL stream?
Not for this song. I don't even know if I had the internet yet. I had both Lizzie McGuire soundtracks on CD, the TV soundtrack and the film soundtrack that was on heavy rotation for me constantly. I went to see the Lizzie McGuire movie at the cinema and just like in awe, could not believe what was happening in front of my eyes. So when she came here and launched her solo career, I was just ready and waiting. It was already like a two thumbs up from me, like pure biasness. Now, 20 years later, or even a few years later, like, I'll always love the song and I'll be hugely nostalgic for it. It's not my favorite song or single from the album, but it did what it needed to do to launch her. And I remember rushing to Woolworths the week of release, not knowing whether to buy CD one, CD two. I think in the end I bought both.
Oh, go on, Wens.
I actually bought it with my own pocket money. A little bit older here, you know, I'm in first year of secondary school, maybe second year. One would have had
Working It Out.
One had Working It Out and a remix on, and then the other one had Girl Can Rock, Anthem.
Oh my God. I mean, how is the young JB going to choose?
And a Metamorphosis. It says Mega Mix, but from my memory, it was more just like clips.
A sampler. Yeah.
It was a time of like anything with Hillary's face on, like, I needed. So
yeah, the bed sheets, the tumblers, shower curtains.
I did have a calendar, and then my walls were covered, and I had like official huge posters. I had like the actual cinema poster of the Lizzie McGuire movie.
I imagine your mum coming into your room is like, Jolie, what are you doing? You blocked out the windows.
Yeah. I think I had done that before. Now, this song is accompanied by a fantastic music video, David. It is directed by the incredible Chris Applebaum. Now, he's directed videos for Paris, Rihanna, Miley, Ali and AJ, Britney, and Ashley Tisdale's original unreleased He Said, She Said, which he has teased on Instagram that he's going to leak, and I'm still waiting for it. So come on, Chris.
My most vivid memory of this video will always be the Everything is Bigger in Texas t-shirt. Like, that's the number one thought that comes to my mind when I think of this song.
Absolutely. So the storyline of this song and video is that it's, you know, a breakup anthem. So Hillary is playing a prank on her ex-boyfriend. She's taken his favorite shirt that's orange and reads Everything's Bigger in Texas, nodding to Hillary's roots.
Yes, she is born in Texas. I don't think of her as a Texan girl, but yeah.
She is. She's a true Texas girl. And she's taking over several days Polaroids of strangers wearing this t-shirt. And then she gives it to him. She like anonymously delivers all the Polaroids.
Did you as a kid think, what is bigger in Texas?
I didn't understand the innuendo, but even Kelly Clarkson in 2002 smash hit From Justin to Kelly says, I'm from Texas. I've seen bigger.
Oh,
I was, you know, I'm like, yep, yeah, Texas, everything's bigger in Texas. Fine.
Me as a baby gay was like, how do I get to Texas?
Mom, I really think the next family holiday should be a trip to Texas. I've just always wanted to see the ranches and all that sort of thing, really.
The other thing that really struck me about this music video is that I remember thinking, wow, they're really trying to make that separation between that TV character that Hillary's played for many years and who she is. You know, the smoky eye makeup, the black blazer with the jeans and a nice top. It was giving rock chick, sexy casual, you know, her performing with a rock band as well and her posing with older male bandmates on the couch. That kind of positioning her as being a more mature girl.
The true PR's mind was already, the cogs were working back in 2003.
Now, what did you think when you saw this video? Because you're used to seeing Hills in a certain light.
Well, I think when you look back at Why Not as a music video, it is very cinematic. It does feel like a music video that accompanies a film.
It's got a certain colour and quality to it.
Whereas this is like straight up music star. It's more kind of like cutting edge modern of the time.
And we're getting more glamorous shots here. We're getting the close-ups of her makeup, the hair, the slow motion, you know.
And getting a bit more comfortable as a pop star as well. Like, as you said, the scene where she's performing with the band. And you know who worked on this music video as a choreographer? Brian Friedman.
Oh, the Brian Friedman.
Helping Hillary get into the groove of things, teaching her how to do I'm Just a Bird That's Already Flown Away.
Where she's on the knees with the mic stand and everything else. Like, it's giving Britney I Love Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
I see that.
So in America, it peaked at number 42 on the US Billboard Hot 100 and number 15 on the US Mainstream Top 40. In Australia, it peaked at number 8 on the Arias, which is fantastic, a top 10 smash hit.
Certifying platinum, literally a top 10 platinum selling single. Get it, Hills.
Here in the UK, it peaked at number 9, which is
very decent.
Absolutely fantastic. Number 7 in Scotland. Thank you, Scotland. Number 6 in Ireland.
Wow.
Thank you, Ireland. Number 2 in Canada. Love to see it. 23 in New Zealand. New Zealand, we normally restan you, but what were you thinking? So, David, let's move to August 2003 in America with the launch of Hilary Duff's official debut album, Metamorphosis. Before we even get into the album, the early work of this album had Hilary Duff, who was really into Destiny's Child at the time and was initially working on a more urban style project.
Can you imagine Hilary Duff doing like an R&B record?
Could be interesting. Well, obviously she did transition to rock queen to dance queen later on. So she's definitely got an she's a verse queen. Literally, as and I'm obviously not going to jump too much into the future, but when she came out with Proper Dance and teased it with Play With Fire, I remember my jaw being on the floor and being like, if she keeps this up, she could be the next Rihanna.
Now, the theme of this album, look, Metamorphosis, I think that says a lot.
I'd never heard the word before.
Oh, really? This was your introduction to the word metamorphosis.
That is brilliant.
I love it. Look, for a teenager, you know, these types of coming of age songs and stuff, it really makes sense that the album is called that. For Hillary, she says it's called Metamorphosis because it's a big change for me, referring to where she is in life, but also that it's a big change for the public as well, who has known her for playing the fictional character Lizzie McGuire for such a long time. So she recognizes that this is a huge period of transition. And while she didn't write any songs on the album, the way she was involved is that she would have a chat with the songwriters and producers, the A&R person would bring her demos, and she would handpick the songs. So even though lyrically it didn't have her fingerprints on it, it was still very much everything Hillary would want to say. So, and I think, you know, it's fair enough. Like, you can't expect for her first album, right? Considering she
is 15 years old.
Yeah. And also that she said I saw it in an interview that she didn't think about seriously singing until about a year and a half before this album came out. So we're not going to get like loads of like poetry or songs that she's written behind the scenes that suddenly would be ready for an album. And also, like, let's be honest, look, she's very busy. She's doing films, she's doing TV.
She's busy. I believe she's making a Cinderella story at the same time as making this album.
So there's no time to get into songwriting sessions and put her with different people and stuff like that. This is a first album, bear in mind. So people don't know whether this is going to be a success or not. Let's go with a low risk option, low cost, get in some demos, get her to record it.
I don't know if I'd say low cost, David. This is an expensive album with high caliber artists.
But compared to like the cost of putting her in recording sessions for months and weeks and whatever,
yeah,
you know, that would have cost even more. Whereas if you go to your pool of demos and select from there.
Also, I just want to say that even though she didn't write anything on the album, it was a deeply personal album to Hillary that she could highly relate to.
This album packs a lot of emotions. It's all the kind of emotions that felt very familiar when you're a young teenager, you know, that feeling of wanting to grow up and be seen as an individual, you know, finding your own path, navigating relationships and changes in your life, finding self-confidence, you know, first love, first heartbreak, all those kind of tenderness. There's a lot of sensitivity and feelings in this album, but also overwhelmingly, there's a lot of positivity, right? Because that's Hillary. Like, that's what she radiates. It's not like an emo, angsty album. It's always underlined with a ray of sunshine. Some great names worked on this, JB. Cara DioGuardi, who goes on to do Kelly Clarkson.
Queen Cara. When I'm releasing my 2004 pop rock album, you want Cara DioGuardi on it.
You want it, yeah. And I'm sure for JB1, like Cara
JB2.
Will have a few. Oh, JB2 now?
When I move from pop to pop rock.
Oh, okay. We'll hit up Cara for that one. Also, don't forget to hit up John Shanks, who's on this album and also worked with Ashley Simpson.
Absolutely.
Bit up your street.
Three tracks on here produced by The Matrix,
who just had all that success with Avril Lavigne. So to be able to get them on this project, like, the mouse definitely got on the phone for that one. You can tell Mickey was pulling some strings. And you know who else was interesting to see on here? This lovely pair, Jim Marr and Wendy Page, who wrote Honey to the Bee.
And Because We Want To.
Iconic.
Iconic.
Meredith Brooks from that iconic 90s hit, Bitch. And of course, Hayley Duff, who Hills would say is the inspiration for going into music. She's always said when she was growing up, whatever Hayley wanted to do, I wanted to do as well. Hayley was the one who got into music, started writing poems first, right?
It's the perfect way that we can all relate if you're a younger sibling out there, which I am. What I did think was interesting, so when I had the album booklet, like, it just says H.Duff.
Oh, is that which one?
Yeah. It's one of yours.
It was fucking one of yours.
I want to jump into this. Like, let's just quickly whiz through it track by track, even if you don't want to talk about it track by track.
Okay, I didn't realise we're doing track by track, but okay, JB, you go ahead.
Let's just have some fun. Let's just touch base on each track, you know. We don't need to whatever, but we can. We've got track 3, Working It Out, which is just, you know, like a fun way to continue this album after two smash hit singles.
Some days I start off dragging my feet. Some days I wanna
I'm not giving up, no.
Look, this one is a real head-bopping baby rock song. I also love that the composition of it and the instrumentation gives it a little bit of an old soul to it. Like, that electric guitar solo in the middle, like, just kind of makes me feel like, yeah, it's more mature rather than just pure bubblegum pop. Again, it taps into that kind of awkward in-between feeling that you get as a teenager. Like, you just need a moment to work it out. It's like, I'm not slacking off. I'm not giving up on stuff. I just need a moment. I'm working it out, which I really relate to.
It really relates to the lyrics. But speaking of mature, so let's skip track 4 and go in with number 5, Where Did I Go Right? Now, this is a mature sounding track. You know, Where Did I Go Right? How Did I Find You? I don't know how I did, but somehow now I do.
So how did you get here? How did you get here? Something is wrong. Where did I go right?
It feels like a different vibe because all the other songs had quite punchy choruses, whereas this one is kind of a little bit inward looking, isn't it? It's a girl basically saying, like, you know, I mess up so many things, like, but where did I go right with you? Like, how did I manage to find this amazing love and someone who cares for me like this? Which I was like, oh my God, you know that feeling with your first love where you're just feeling so awkward within yourself, but then someone just seemed to get you or see you for you. That's the kind of sentiment I'm getting from this.
Good work, The Matrix. But let's circle back to our girl, Wendy Page and Co.
Go
with
on, Wendy.
Track 6, Anywhere But Here. But now this, David, is a real album highlight. And I would go as far to say as it is a fan favourite.
I'm falling through the door, flying across the floor.
You know, driving in the summer with the top down, wind in your hair, and it's like this is like mellow but upbeat breezy.
Don't you love the early 2000s? Like, we had lots of really good breezy pop songs.
You need to add this to your 2000s breezy pop playlist.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, Joel. But Anywhere By Here really does slap, and it is also featured in A Cinderella Story on the soundtrack. And it's just, yeah, I would say it's one of the top highlights of this album in terms of album tracks. So well done, Auntie Wendy. We love you. Now, let's move on to The Math.
If you can do the math, then get it out of the equation.
Let's do The Math, which, do you think this is going to be on Rishi Sunak's Spotify Wrapped this year?
Don't even bring that into this, please, David.
I know, the rare moment of present day politics coming to right back at you.
Please, you can spend your whole life quantifying, analysing, justifying, till there's nothing anymore.
What is this burlesque cabaret version? I'm obsessed with it.
I always thought there could be a Hilary Duff Metamorphosis, the concept album musical, like, that could follow this teen girl in her journey through high school and her 16th birthday. And you could really weave just this album into a musical with a narrative. It's not a concept album, but I've made it one for you, Hillers.
I absolutely love it, and I would love to hear more of this. That's crazy.
RVT, let's book it in.
Well, it is 20 years of Metamorphosis this year, guys, so let's get on it. The JB's headline performance.
Right Back At You presents Metamorphosis, the Hilary Duff musical.
A one-man show by Joel Babington.
Not produced by Hayley Duff. So, David, while I think this song slaps, like just think of me in this era in maths class. Like, it must have been insufferable. If you know how I was with biology, like, this must have been just as bad. Hilary Duff has gone on record to say this is her least favourite song. I think it was in the 15th anniversary.
She was ready to get real. Okay.
It was a really like positive article, and it was talking about like how influential it was. And she was really celebrating the album, and she
just wasn't celebrating the math.
Do you know what? It's just not my favourite one.
We've all moved on now. And who needs maths anyway? But tell you what, though, as much as Hills is a little bit ambivalent about it, this did win her a Radio Disney Music Award in 2004 for Best Homework Song, beating the Cheetah Girls' Cinderella and Kelly Clarkson's Breakaway.
Well, I mean, it feels like this category was made for this song.
This and Biology. I hope Biology was nominated in the category in later years.
God, that could have been their, like, US Radio Disney crossover hit. 2000s pop campaigns could have been beat, like, build around that camp, that category. Like, you know, in the writing camp.
Do we have a best homework song on this album? Nope. Go back to the drawing board.
So let's go back to Auntie Wendy with, again, another song that is mellow in the way that Anywhere But Here is, with Love Just Is.
Disappointing.
Whatever it may be. Oh.
That was me adding a little old age pessimism in. Sorry. Back to lovely, optimistic teenage Hills here.
Do you know what, David? You need to have a metamorphosis this year.
I'm just working it out, mate.
Some things never get defined in your heart or in your mind. It don't make sense. What can you do?
You know, it's mellow. It isn't as good as Anywhere But Here, but it's a lovely moment on the album.
It's a satisfactory track 8, yeah.
But let's enter Hayley Duff into the chat. Track 9, Sweet 16, David Lim. This is the opening of the Hilary Duff Metamorphosis musical. Today I'm gonna run away and feel the sun throughout my hair. I'm finally free to be who I wanna be, and who that is, I don't really care. So that's her waking up in bed in her bedroom.
She's gonna
go downstairs into the kitchen where the family are all having their morning breakfast. She introduces us to the characters of the family. But the lyrics would be changed to, it would be a girl power, like women power story with single working mum. So then instead of daddy's always there, it'd be like, and daddy's never there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am obsessed with this franchise of the Duff Sisters musicals. Please, RVT, book him.
It was also the theme tune to the iconic MTV TV show My Super Sweet 16.
Amazing. Good for Hayley getting that credit on there. Hope she earned a pretty penny from that.
I'm sure she did. What did you think of this song, David?
It was lots of fun.
Discovering Sweet 16, so much more to life, Sweet 16.
I'm going to cut that and then put it at the end of the episode, I think, just as like an outro. So if you're listening all the way to the end, you might get like a little Easter egg. Because that does sound like, you know, when you listen to like TV theme songs, like 90s sitcom TV theme songs. Like, it kind of trails off. Like, that's what you were giving.
Thank you. Thank you. That's how I live my life. So, do you know that this song started on Hayley Duff's birthday, on her 16th birthday, she wrote this as a poem and read it to Hillary and her mum.
Aww.
And then when Hillary was getting to make this album, Hillary thought it would be make a lovely song.
Because she was turning 16 that year.
She was turning 16. She was 15 in the recording of this album and promoting, and it was released in August, and then her 16th birthday was on the September.
Also my birthday, so yeah.
Just 10, 15 days different.
15.
Which is the age Hillary Duff was when she was recording this album.
You do the math, guys, yeah.
Or get out of the equation, honestly.
Wow.
So this song, David, was it a minus or a plus for you?
Look, this is a fine. It's sort of an in the middle for me, yeah.
For the edit. Joel, I actually thought this track was fantastic. That's not what you sound like. This is one of two big MTV theme tune moments of this album. So not only was Hilary Duff getting across Disney Channel, but then you're also tapping into MTV. So you're getting teenage market and, you know, like early 20s, which I was straddling both in this time. So all bases were covered. So it was fantastic. So we've all turned sweet 16. It was our chance to shine. It's time to party up. The world's most favorite bitch, Meredith Brooks, has entered the chat. She's a bitch. She's a lover. She's a...
I feel like Meredith Brooks, if you're ever listening to this, that needs to be in your email signature.
CEO, world's most favourite bitch.
You roll me, you use me, you love me, and then you wrap me up and reel me in and use me again. You love me, you hate me, you stay at the end. I know you're gonna do it again and again and again and again.
So the track is Party Up. So yeah, you'd have your like your sweet 16 party, and like her love interest would be there. This time I want you. I didn't see this come in. Why don't you party up?
It's sort of like a cinematic parallel to Alexandra Burke's All Night Long, maybe. Or is it good night?
Or is it good morning?
But in a Disney rock-esque sense.
At the RVT. Or Brasserie's Adele. If you... What I do is I'll do it underground at the RVT, and then Kimberly will come across and go, oh, I've got to take this to Brasserie's. I've got to get this to Zidane.
Joel, do you ever think that these places that we mention so much in our podcast, first of all, for people that aren't in London, like hopefully it's not too alienating for you, but hopefully you've got a very fond impression of these places through us. Consider it podcast tourism.
But, I mean, two legendary venues, both the Royal Vauxhall Tavern and Brasserie's Adele. You know, if you want a lovely, fancy French dinner that isn't going to break the bank, you get yourself to Brasserie's Adele for a bit of swish. I've done it many times.
And use the promo code RBAY.
Exclamation point. And then, you know, RVT, we stan. I just think this song absolutely slaps.
Love it. Shall we go on to Metamorphosis?
Do you know what, David? Like, entering the new year in 2023, like, I was so wrapped up in my own cocoon. But doing this episode, something's happening. Things are changing soon. I'm pushing that edge. I'm feeling it crack.
You're coming out of the Lady Gaga egg?
Every day is a new equation. Every day is a revelation. Information, anticipation. On to another destination. Metamorphosis.
This one was really, really cool, I thought, by way of production.
This is vibrant. This gives you taste. This is vibrant.
Now, this is the flavor I've been waiting for, that sprinkling of a little bit of seasoning.
It tells you a story. It is about someone on the cusp of changing for them and everything that's about to happen. And it's the only time, well, no, it's one of a few times, but it's a true moment where we hear Hillary do a sort of rappy talky bit.
I think in the album commentary, the making of the album, when she says that there are techno moments on it, she was referring to the production of this one, because I think they had some interesting vocal effects on it. So yeah, this is the kind of like innovation or like different influences that I really wanted to see pulled in a little bit more for this album. But I'm glad we got to have this moment with the title track.
So then we have sort of like a more of an interlude, really, to officially close us out of the album with Inner Strength, written by screwed songstress Hayley Duff. Those that know, know.
Gotta find your inner strength. If you can, then just throw life away. Gotta learn to rely on you. Beauty, strength, and wisdom too. You're beautiful.
Now, Joel, this was the one that when I was listening to it, now bear in mind, I downloaded this album back in the day. Like I had it on an MP3 CD.
How many times did you listen to it?
I barely listened to it once back in the day.
Sounds like it.
In listening to it in 2023, I was quite surprised about this song because I feel like I would have remembered it. It's a kind of real moment of stillness that's kind of, it's spoken word poetry, very gentle instrumentation. And I didn't realize this was basically an interlude. Like I wanted it to build into a full song. I think it really has potential.
Hayley didn't have enough time for more lyrics.
But fair enough, it started off as a poem, so it should probably stay that way.
So do you think Hayley, is what you're saying, is that Hayley Duff is kind of like the Kerry Katona of America, the lost Kerry Katona of America?
But, you know, I think if you think about the kind of Hilary Duff listeners at this time in their age, listening to a track like Inner Strength feels very personal. It's almost like a voice note from Hills straight from her lips to your ears, which really is the whole center of this album.
And that's the difference between me and you, Davo, because this was normally a skip from me.
I get what you mean, because it's sort of like not really giving anything, but I think it kind of...
Get me straight to the box.
Yeah, exactly. But it kind of ties up the whole project.
It's an... If you don't include the bonus and international tracks, then it's a nice closer. It, you know, brings it all together. This album and era is so prominent to me of 2003, 2004. I was doing the extra work in Harry Potter 4, The Goblet of Fire. And so I was making a bunch of new friends. That's like when me and Harry first became like really good friends.
Aww. The Harry Alexander who is on stage with Melanie C doing contemporary dance.
As we speak, probably when this episode's released. And it was my first year joining stage school and it was making friends with that group of people because we were all doing Harry Potter together. And I remember one of them was listening to Hilary Duff and I was like, oh my God, you like Hilary Duff? And she's like, oh, well, I've just put the good tracks from the album on here. And I'm like, good tracks? You can't curate this album. They're all good tracks.
Okay.
You can't slice and dice this album, you know? I was like, I had it by the throat. I was like, oh, I can't believe you've said that. So yes, then we got to Why Not, which we've already spoken about. So let's talk about our two international bonus tracks. Firstly, I'd like to talk about the European bonus track, A Girl Can Rock.
Hey boys, are you ready for the shock? I'm living proof, the girl can.
This track encapsulates what, like, product Hilary Duff was doing. The image, everything. A girl can rock. Girl power. Rock girl. Hey, boys, are you ready for the shock? I'm living proof the girl can rock. And Hilary Duff even performed this as a mashup at the AMAs. She was introduced by JC Chazet. Now, I think this is a real shame this isn't a main track on the album. I do feel like maybe it was brought in at the last minute and wasn't ready in time to go on the initial release.
Yeah, I mean, I feel two ways about it, because in a way it's the perfect, like you said, it sums up the album, the brief of who Hilary Duff, the pop rock star is. It could have been a great album opener, but at the same time, I don't know if she was maybe going for more depth and more songs that have lyrics that sort of speak to her fans a little bit more on a personal level.
This spoke to her fans. Pointing at myself.
I get what you mean. It's very anthemic, and I do want to see it in the main album as
but
well.
But it's also Barbie Anthems Volume 7.
And having looked at the whole track listing of Metamorphosis, I wonder if her going into choosing songs for her debut album, she went for songs that said stuff that she couldn't say in character. Whereas Girl Can Rock, you can hear that on a Lizzie McGuire soundtrack, couldn't you? JB is not happy with this reading.
Yes, while you make fantastic, while my co-host, ladies and gents, and non-binary friends makes fantastic points, I do not agree at all. I respect, I understand. I do think in a world it does work really well as a tour exclusive and then to be the title of the tour DVD and all of that. B-side, it ends up on the Cinderella Story soundtrack. Like, it's great as this more like Hillary fan exclusive, then she could have serviced it to Barbie 7 or whatever. Like, you know, it's just a Hillary track that gets out there, but I just love it and I think it's perfect. So let's talk about the Asian and Australian edition bonus track, A Day in the Sun.
Waiting for the clouds to disappear from the sky.
Now, Jolie B, this is my favorite album track that we're going to talk about today. For those of us who are feeling the slight existential crisis entering the new year, you know, going back to the hustle and grind mode, I think the lyrics really resonate. Everybody's waiting for a day in the sun. Everybody's working hard to have some fun. First you want a million, then a million and one. Everybody's doing everything they can. Some will count on luck and some will make a plan. If you want to get it, gotta get it done. Everybody's waiting for a day in the sun.
Beautiful. Just like Hayley Duff would have read it herself. I think it's lovely. I think it gives you that vibe and flavour that you were searching for on this album. I do think it's a... Like, you know, I'm a completist. I wish I had it on my editions. Again, I wish it was on the vinyl. But is it too much of a different vibe for the album to be on the main track listing? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I would have taken out one or two of the ballads in between.
You would have taken out Auntie Wendy's Love Just Is and replaced it with A Day in the Sun.
I would have. I'm really sorry, Wens. I don't know. Maybe this is just me, a man in my 30s, listening to this song with fresh ears, and it's just kind of like resonating a little. It's funny, isn't it? There's certain feelings that you get as a teenager that sometimes comes back later in life, just in a different version.
So, you know, this was recorded by someone else in the Disney Channel world.
No. Who?
This song was also recorded by Annalise van der Poel, who plays Chelsea on That's So Raven.
Amazing.
Released as a track on the That's So Raven 2 soundtrack.
Oh, we're going to have to put a clip.
Play the clip.
And they try, and they try, and they try. Waiting for the clouds to disappear from the sky.
She's a very underrated star of That's So Raven.
Fantastic. Underrated star, Broadway star, played Belle on Broadway.
Did she?
She did.
Get
She's
it,
She's got
girl.
Vocal chops. She is a multi-talented star, much like Hillary, much like most people to get it on the Disney Channel. You have to be a multi-talented star because of our girls like Hillary Duff. Luckily, they had stars like that. Luckily, they had stars like Raven, Christy Castle Romano, these versatile stars that can sing, dance, act, live stage, cinema, TV.
Broadway.
They can do any medium. But yeah, fantastic tracks, both of them there. Lovely way to round out this incredible album. This is an album, David, that was so prominent to me, you know, listened to probably several times a day during its release, that, you know, it was the go-to album, the star album of my teenage years, like 13-year-old me, like, this album was everything. And it's an album that I can go 6 months, a year maybe without listening. And I can't remember people's names. People that I work with every day, I can't remember their names. But I can remember every single lyric.
I love this for you. I love that you feel it so deeply. And I knew that this was what we would get when we finally start doing Hillary Duff on Right Back At Ya. And your enthusiasm for it is just like everything. I'm not saying I'm not loving it. I think I'm just kind of like approaching it from a different perspective. Like, I'm appreciating it maybe a little bit more cerebrally, because I don't have those like deep nostalgic bonds with this album. I have some bonds with certain tracks.
It's not my fault.
No, it's not. I'm not saying it is. But
that
like,
is not my fault, David. But yeah, I think it's really, it's wonderful to get, you know, My Light, Your Shade on this
my
album.
Shade. Shall we get to chart positions?
Let's get to chart positions. So in America, David, this album debuted at number 2 on the US Billboard 200 behind Mary J. Blige's Love and Life. And then the next week, peak at number 1. By 2005, it had sold 5 million copies worldwide. In Australia, it peaked at number 19, David. In Canada, it peaked at number 1. Ooh. In Japan, it peaked at number 9. 20 in New Zealand. 41 on the Irish album charts. And shockingly, David Lim, 69 here in the UK.
What were you thinking, JB? Where'd you get your copy from?
So my dear friend at the time, Alex, she had it. She had the American release. That cover where it's green background, close up of Hillary's face.
Oh, wait, that's not the version you got here? The one in Australia is the standard green one that's a headshot. Yeah. Yeah.
So here in the UK, I knew what we had coming. So she had that, and very kindly, I'm sure I had a copy of her version. And then I knew what we had coming here in the UK. White background, Hillary Duff, sort of a longer body length. Instead of just a close-up of the face, white background, looking over the shoulder, black top, tartan skirt, you know, for the Scottish crowd, getting it out there. And I just loved that cover. I was obsessed with that cover. And I knew we were getting Girl Can Rock bonus track, Ready and Waiting. Needed it and needed to support my girl in the UK release. Really interesting and fantastic rest of 2003 for Hilary Duff. In September 2003, Hilary Duff Island Birthday Bash aired on the WB to coincide with Hilary Duff's birthday and album.
Get ready for the adventure of a lifetime with movie, television and music superstar Hilary Duff and her best friends. It's Hillary's 16th birthday, and you're invited to her party in Hawaii. See her surf, scuba dive, ride ATVs in the jungle, and explore the famous Nepali coastline in this awesome tropical paradise. Then, watch Hillary perform songs from her number one CD for the first time ever at the Hyatt Regency Kauai, featuring special guest Simple Plan.
Now, this was a TV special, David, about an hour long, that featured Hilary Duff in Hawaii with her friends and Hayley, plus performances from her in her first ever full concert and a few acoustic stripped down performances, you know, with sort of waterfalls behind you, and a surprise performance from Simple Plan. This also has like fun hijinks from Hillary and her friends surfing in Hawaii, stuff like that. I think it's a genius move for Hillary, who is predominantly a TV star at this time, but on a kids network, we've got her on WB, a teen network, to hopefully keep the audience that she has, find some more within that TV realm.
I thought it was quite genius. I didn't realize that this was on the WB. So yeah, that is, again, strategy, growing your audience from Disney Channel to
teen network.
Yeah, and you got Simple Plan on. So that kind of works really well for that audience. So I'm dying to see this. You've really sold it for me.
A year later, I think for her 17th birthday, they aired it on the Disney Channel here in the UK. And I think someone must that had Disney Channel must have recorded it for me, because I eventually saw it a year later.
Oh, but at least you saw it.
They should have rushed it out on DVD, which they didn't, unfortunately. But what they did rush out on DVD was November 2003, Hilary Duff All Access Pass on DVD. Now, this was released in America and Australia. I don't believe it was released here in the UK, but I had to have it that Christmas on DVD. So I had it as an American import. Now, this was an hour-long DVD that featured the music videos for So Yesterday, Why Not, and I Can't Wait. It also featured behind the scenes of So Yesterday and Why Not. And it featured her in the studio recording Metamorphosis, a lot more kind of set up in the studio, quote unquote, lip syncing to final tracks, but we got to do what we got to do to promote the album. And it included her sessions at AOL as well. Looking back, it's a little bit thin on the ground in terms of content, but in a pre-YouTube world, I absolutely devoured this DVD. And what I love on it is it's like Metamorphosis is broken up by syllable and how to pronounce it for that younger market.
And also for a lot of us adults, yeah.
Yeah, as me. I've never heard that word before. And then to wrap up the year, kicking off in November 2003, all the way through off and on for the following year until May 2004, Hilary Duff kicks off the Metamorphosis tour, doing some theatres, but getting to arena level because she is that booked and busy so early in her career. The set list features the album plus a cover of The Who's My Generation, Dead Edge. In November 2003, David, she did a full concert streamed on AOL. Now here, David, is my AOL moment of this generation. So by the end of the year, I had AOL. So I tried with all my might to watch this concert, but my dial-up connection in Romford was not having any of it. I saw like little bits and pieces, but it was just not happening.
Oh no. Early days of streaming a show. I mean, God, look at where we are now.
So it was called AOL's Broadband Rocks, but in Romford, it was still dial-up. So
it was not rocking probably, in Romford.
That is why it was not loading at all. But it was shot and released on DVD as The Girl Can Rock, Rock On, DVD in November 2004, which was then a must-have Christmas DVD the next year. Now, that was released in the UK, but I think I probably got a US import again because I just couldn't wait.
In
the words of Hilary Duff and our girl Meredith, or whatever her name is, I can't wait. So it's a new year, David, 2004, January in America and Australia, April in the UK. Hilary Duff releases, to me, the song that changed everything. It cemented her as a certified pop star. And out of everything in the Hilary Duff pop rock era, I would say this is Hilary's signature track. To me, it's by far the best on the album and best single of this Hilary Duff pop rock era. It's Come Clean.
I'm coming. Let the rain fall down and wake my dreams. Let it wash away.
I feel this is the best Hilary Duff song ever. Sorry, Twitter gays. I know people love Sparks, but Come Clean will always hold that special place in my heart. Like, there's something so spellbinding about that production, that whistling synth sound and that wistful guitar melody, and then the way it builds to a big chorus. Also, like, I feel like this is the only vaguely dancey song on the album, which is probably why we love it.
I mean, to me, this feels straight up pop rock. But speaking of dance, David, the Chris Cox remix of this song.
Oh my song, God, the remixes. They were coming for the gays with this one.
I'm not like you edgy gays that like you, Adam with an E, that love remixes. But oh my God, the radio and the full length, full flood remix. Effing slap of this track, David.
So hats off to Cara Dugwadi and John Shanks, who are behind this song. I think having listened to the whole album again now and then coming back to Come Clean, like, there was something different about Hillary's vocal delivery with this one. It just felt more like, even the chorus, which I know is like the peak point of it, like there is a kind of calmness with her delivery that is just really like wistful. And I just love that quality about it. This music video is such a gift, isn't it? Like the Tumblr gifts that came from it. I still, to this very day, anytime it's a rainy day and I want to tweet about it, I'll go like look for a Come Clean clip.
Look, I was going to say, if you don't reenact this video every time it rains, then there's something wrong with you. So this is directed by Dave Myers. He's directed music videos for No Doubt, Pink, Missy Elliott, the Veronicas. So, you know, Caliber, big name in the music video world. It showed Hilary Duff inside a house on a rainy day, waiting for a love interest, hanging out with the friends, getting pots and pans for the leaks.
That's what was so funny about this video. Like, watching it back now, I'm just like, you're in such a beautiful big mansion with white orchids everywhere, and you got pots and pans in a living room? Like, what's going on?
Glamorous but real. Glamorous but real.
But also, I really love that scene where it's her lying on the timber floor, surrounded by white candles, and the camera just pans out. Stunning, but also a bit dangerous. Hills, like, you know, shouldn't have open flames that close to your blanket.
On behalf of Hollywood Records, there would have been the highest health and safety on set that day. So this song, Devo, was the theme song to MTV's Laguna Beach. Now, this, we throw the word around a lot, but this is legit iconic. This really helped.
It just really helped propel this song and Hillary as a pop star to the next level. Like, that's what you needed, that kind of MTV placement.
And this was like such a prominent big show that I think to a lot of people, like, both of those still go hand in hand to this day. She said about this song, like, she knew she was so lucky to get this song.
Aww.
That this is the song that sort of changed everything for her, that really helped, you know, make her Hilary Duff the star. Aww. This is a song that people established with it. And that's what I mean by, like, this is her Say You'll Be There. Like, the other stuff, like, hugely put her on the map, but this is the stuff that cemented her as an artiste. So, David, this was released in April here in the UK. My girl Hilary was booked and busy and prominent here during my birthday, including on my birthday, seeing, not in person, just on TV, seeing my queen perform on Des and Mel.
What, she did come clean on that.
She did come clean on Des and Mel, and I'm just like, what a birthday treat that is. So let's talk about chart stats. America is her highest charting song to date.
Ooh.
It's 35 on the Billboard Hot 100, 17 in Australia, number 18 here in the UK, 12 in Scotland. Thank you, Scotland. 16 in Ireland, 7 in Canada. It's 12 in Spain. Hello, Spain.
Hola.
Hola. Yeah, 17 in New Zealand. So, David, let's move on to May 2004. Where we're going to head down under for a little bit of a Australian exclusive release and the final single of the album.
I didn't realise this was Australian exclusive. So here we are with Little Voice.
The little voice, the little voice.
Now, JB, I completely forgot this was a single. And even looking at the single artwork right now in front of me, it's looking vaguely familiar. Like, I feel like I might have seen it in Kmart back in the day. This one just completely passed me by. And I don't know what it is. I think this is really fun. It's got a bit of a kind of 90s grunge flavor to it. Mm. It's basically Disney does Nirvana, which I really adore. Now, JB, did you know this was a cover?
Until
today, me too. Cover by Swedish pop rock girlie, Sahlin.
Now, she did Eurovision.
She did Eurovision, but she represented for Estonia, didn't she? And she came third in 2002. So Sahlin released Little Voice back in 2000. It's completely different lyrics to the version that Hillary has released. Her version was, you know, a little bit sexier, a little bit more grown up. I absolutely love the music video for Sahlin's version. Like, the budget for that, it was inspired by The Fifth Element, clearly. You know, it was very futuristic. She breaks out of a lab, drives a flying car. Sadly, the single flopped for Sahlin.
I know, all that budget for a 51 hit in Sweden.
Number 51 in Sweden. So then her album was shelved at that time. The song would eventually come out a few years later on another album. But yeah, Sahlin's lost at the time became Hills's gain.
The little voice in my head won't let me forget.
Little Voice. So that made number 29 in Australia. So despite me only seeing it maybe once or twice in Kmart, some of us bought it.
So I'm really upset to hear that, because I was going to ask, like, do you remember seeing this on Rage or anything like that? Because they used, for the music video, they used live footage from the Girl Can Rock DVD. And what I see on YouTube says Rage on it. So I was like, do you remember seeing it? But no.
Sadly, not very prominent, you know. But yeah, the single cover does look familiar.
Well, David Lim, thank you so much for sharing this dead rocky journey with me.
This, to me, is a beautiful start and a reminder of Hilary Duff's impact. And it's really nice to go back to the beginning, to borrow her lyrics, with Metamorphosis, to see where we begin all of this journey 20 years on.
And I'm wishing us a new year full of dignity, where we're going to breathe in, breathe out, and let's just chase the sun and make it all about you and me. You have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast, which has hopefully been full of sparks in your ears. You can follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB. You can follow him at
@LoveLimmy.
If you want to email our hearts at rightbackpod@gmail.com, you can do that. Leave us a lovely 5-star review. Hit that subscribe button. Until next time, Healers fans and more, keep on rocking out. Bye.
Bye.
Discovering Sweet 16, so much more to life, Sweet 16.